This is the podcast of AMP Youth Ministries, located in Wentzville, Missouri. Be sure to find AMP and Youth Pastor Jeremy Tutterow on Facebook. Also, join us at 7:30 on Wednesday nights as we explore the Word of God together. Directions to our church can be found on the Facebook page. And now, the AMP podcast.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. There's none like you, Lord. There's none like you, Jesus. We bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. All right, you all can be seated. Lesson 4, the final lesson. Just to remind you guys that next week we will be over there for our prayer revival. And in February we'll be having youth services. You know, we won't have a teaching series, but we will be preaching and we will be having youth service over here February all the way up to youth convention. So don't miss single one because it's going to be awesome. All right? All right. Title of this lesson is Prayer is Constant. Anybody need a Bible? Anybody would like a Bible that does not have one? All right. Can you help me out? Prayer is constant. Let's just kick this off a little bit. Somebody raise your hand and tell me what they think maybe prayer is constant. Like, what are we going to be hit? What angle are we going to be getting at? Continuous, very good. Keeps on happening. I like it. I like it. I like it. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. It's been our key, our theme verse for this entire series. It's worth noting here that the disciples asked Jesus this question rather than, Lord, teach us how to heal the sick. Lord, teach us how to multiply food. Lord, teach us how to walk on water. They asked this question over all of those because I think the disciples realized that that is where all the miracles were born. It was in this question that they asked him. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as he," referring to Jesus, "was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians a little bit further into the New Testament. You see a bunch of letters written to cities, like Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And then right after Colossians is 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to chapter 5. And verse 17, it is a three-word verse. It's one of those that you hope you get when you're Bible quizzing. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And 100% of us just went, yeah, right. How can I pray without ceasing? There are two legitimate ways to unpack this verse. One of them says, keep praying until something happens, right? Just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing until you get your answer. And that's totally, you know, legitimate. But I'm going to unpack this one that says that prayer is meant to be a constant thing. Pray without ceasing. And prayer is meant to be a constant thing. But the question that we run into when we see that is we say, how? How on earth does that happen where we pray without ceasing? So it's like, do I leave society and I move to some mountain and only wear brown and like only eat roots from now on just so I can like be removed from everybody, but I can still pray? That is so anti-Christian that I don't even know where to begin. Somebody else, how do we pray without ceasing? Anybody got a suggestion? How do we pray without ceasing? I got you right where I want you. Nobody, Rocky raised his hand. That's the only one. All right, go ahead. Good, you're on the right track. So since I can't possibly physically live up to that expectation of being on my knees and my hands together and just wailing before God, right? Does that mean that I just ignore and just like not pray even? Or just kind of like, well, I'm just going to do my best and I'm going to pray when I can. And, you know, just I'm praying without ceasing, bless God, right? No. You can pray without ceasing. And in fact, I'm just going to say this, you probably pray more than you think you do. What was our definition of prayer? Can somebody tell me? Communication with God. We are communicating verbally and non-verbally with God. Let me insert that little bit there. I want you to remember that prayer is both verbal and non-verbal. Just as your best friend, or some of us who are married, your spouse can walk into a room, or your girlfriend, your boyfriend can walk into a room, and you can just tell that something is wrong, right? You can just tell that they're mad, hopefully not at you, but it happens. Maybe they're upset over something, but something is just not right, right? Those are nonverbal communication cues that you can pick up. Okay, prayer is also, can be a nonverbal communication with God. All right, what does omnipresent mean? Omnipresent. Yeah.
A very, very, very big present.
Exactly, a huge present. Class dismissed. Omnipresent. Jesus is literally everywhere. The Spirit of God is so big and so vast that it's incredible. Genesis chapter 1, right? God said, let there be light, and there was light, okay? And we gather from inferencing through that chapter that God spoke the universe into existence, and science says that the universe is expanding at an incredible rate of speed. Therefore, God, His Word, is still creating from that very first commandment. And it also, the universe is trying to fill the expanse of God. It's going as far as it can, and it will be infinite because it cannot be reached as to how expansive and how great God is. So wherever you go, God is there. Psalm 139. It's usually, if you open up the middle of your Bible, you're usually at Psalms. Psalm 139, verse 7. This one was a revelation to me at some point in my Christian life. Somebody read Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10. Somebody. Anybody. Lizzie, read it good and loud.
Okay.
7, 8, 9, 10. Then verse 10 says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The powerful verse right there, it says, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I go into the depths of the earth, you're there. Where can I go that Jesus is not? There's nowhere you can go where Jesus is not. And that has some implications to it. It says to pray without ceasing is to remember to honor God in your heart, mind, and body every second of the day. Guys, that Jesus is everywhere. He's not just in the church. You know, we come to the church, we come to the house of God to gather together corporately and to worship God corporately, because that is important and that is what we are made to do. But we are also made to live an individual Christian life in connection to other believers. But we are also to live an individual Christian life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, go all around the week. Any day of the week that ends in A-Y, you're supposed to be a Christian. Oh, everybody. Oh, yeah, he's right. Do you know what the church is? The church. In the Greek, it means ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. All right? It means that you are a called out person in a society, but at the same time, you are still immersed in that society. Okay, you still go to school, you still work, you still do what you're supposed to do, but now you are called out, you are separated unto Jesus, but Jesus then turns around and sends you back into the world. You are salt, you are light. Light is no good unless it is lit in a dark place. Salt is no good unless it's on food. If you want, we can test it out at youth convention. I'll just have you eat salt. And you I know you would. By this definition of unceasing prayer, we understand that speaking words, while necessary for a certain type of prayer, is not necessarily God's definition of prayer. We go to a prayer meeting and we kneel, we stand, we walk, we worship, and we use our voice. And that is a type of prayer, but it has been relegated as the only kind of prayer. It is and always was the heart that God observes. What is in your heart manifests by your speech. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in your heart comes out of your mouth. The way you talk, the words that you speak, that is a manifestation of what's already in there. Okay? And when we pray, I'm going to nail something right here. I want you guys' attention. When we pray, we don't just repeat things that we know might sound good. But what we are to be praying is what we know is in our heart and what we know that the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Because here's the thing, your words, when they are spirit-driven, when your words come out of your mouth and it is inspired of the Holy Ghost and it changes the atmosphere around you. God chooses to use your voice to change things around you. So it's very important as to how you're speaking. But going back to this other kind of prayer, praying without ceasing, is that you are not necessarily just praying when your mouth is open and you're talking. Because if that were true, some of you would be praying while you were sleeping because your mouth is open. And we throw stuff in it when you're not looking. It's a misconception that the things of the Bible and Christian life are in neat categories that don't overlap, right? I'm a Christian on Sunday, I go to work on Monday, I go to work on Tuesday. Wednesday night, I go to church, okay? The Christian life was never meant to be segmented. Okay? The Bible itself is not segmented. The entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is a narrative story about Jesus coming to earth, dying on a cross, filling believers, and then coming back for those people. That is the overarching theme. From Genesis to Revelation, it's a story of redemption, it's a story of reconciliation. Okay? Even the little details, the so-and-so begat so-and-so and all that stuff. Okay? It is all interwoven. It is all linked together. So you don't just turn from prayer to worship, and you don't just turn to singing, to preaching. It is all woven together and is all connected. God, that's just the way things happen. Just an example of a creation. What happens if we remove an animal from an ecosystem? Yeah, it affects everything else. Just for an example, we cut down the forest, what happens? Animals are gone. I mean, they leave. There's no shelter. It changes everything. It also happens that animals go and find other things, right? God has designed earth. God has designed you that everything is to be woven together and to work together. But your circulatory system, you know, plays off of your digestive system and your nervous system. And it all works together the way that God intended it to. Praying without ceasing and is living in a constant state of worship. Living in a constant state of the awareness of God. It is living with the mind of Christ. It's living sanctified. That when you are confronted with a situation where you have an opportunity to do something against the Christian nature, right, you are choosing to keep your integrity and maintain the right choice by exercising worship, which is also a form of prayer. What does that mean? Somebody give me an example, an everyday example of praying without ceasing at your school. Somebody help me out.
When you're just walking down the hall and you got that song going on.
Yeah. How about, I know some of you guys can't chew gum and walk at the same time, but what about some conversations that you have with people? How can you be praying without ceasing while you're doing that as well? It's something to think about, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. If you're following along, please follow along. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Paul is quoting a scripture from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. And it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" That's the quote from the Old Testament. But the very next part pertains to us. He says, "But we have the mind of Christ." What does that mean? You got to keep in mind that Isaiah is writing from a perspective before the cross. That Isaiah is writing from a perspective where the Holy Ghost doesn't dwell inside of a believer yet. That it dwells on a believer, it can. But he's writing from a perspective that it doesn't yet. So he's saying God is so far beyond my reach and comprehension. And Paul says, yeah, then, but now we have the mind of Christ. Then backing up a few verses, verse 9 and verse 10. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." There are some verses I read, and when it's only quoted that by itself, it's very discouraging. It says, oh, God has all this stuff, and you don't know, right? God, it's all so beyond you and so far. But I want to know. It's given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And the next verse says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, even the deep things of God." That it is expansive and it is huge and it is beyond my comprehension, but God reveals it to me by the indwelling Spirit. I don't know about you, but that pumps me up. That there are mysteries out there that people have no idea, but if God chooses to, he will reveal it to me. Just plain me. That God loves you enough that he doesn't care if it's too big or too powerful. He will reveal pieces to you that you can handle. So, therefore, we can walk every single day with divine thinking, with God-like thinking, that we can have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. This is still kind of a revelation to me, so I am just like blown away every time I go through this stuff. It kind of started with, in my own personal devotion time, I started beginning to ask, I was like, God, please show me what it means to have you inside of me. Like, please show me what it means. Because I'll be honest, I don't know. I don't know. I probably know less than 0.1% of what it means to have God inside of you. I don't know how it works, and I want to know how it works. And God is revealing it to me because I asked. Ask, you shall receive. Amen. Yeah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It is available. Somebody went, ding. Yes. Somebody's getting it. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let's grab some points out of this passage. That the mind of Christ was humility. Do you guys realize that when Jesus walked on the earth, he didn't necessarily walk as God? He was revealing God all in himself, but he said that I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. Jesus showed us how we can depend entirely on God. Jesus showed us in a man's flesh, just like mine, how you can be dependent and you can actually be spirit-led 24/7. He was God. He thought it not equal to be equal with God, but he took on himself the form of a servant. The mind of Christ is also a submission of his will. Guys, let's think about this. Jesus was sitting in the garden, and I think Brother Caleb preached on this. He says that it's okay to ask yourself to be removed from trials and tribulations because Jesus did himself. Okay, that was the man Jesus saying, I don't want to do this cross thing, but I will anyway, right? Because he was submitted to the will of God. The mind of Christ is also obedient to however difficult that may be. Colossians chapter 2. I just feel like preaching just for a second. Colossians, actually chapter 1, verse 27. Paul here is talking about what has been a secret for so long. Then in verse 27, he just kind of comes out and says it. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. A mystery is not a Nancy Drew, okay? Mystery in the Bible means a secret thing that was hidden from common knowledge. And at a certain time, God revealed it. The glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, this is the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That this was the whole thing that we were driving at to begin with, that Christ would be in you, that Jesus Christ would take up residence inside of you. Skipping down, chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him, talking about Jesus, for in Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus was the fullness of God revealed in human flesh. But verse 10 says, and ye, you are complete in him. Do you understand what that means? That word complete means perfect. That you are made perfect in Jesus Christ. Which also says that when you're out of Jesus Christ, you were imperfect. When you look at the grammar of that word in the Greek, it means that God is perfecting you. And ye are complete. You are being perfected in him, which is the head of all principality. That when you are living, you are working, when you are going to school, in the revelation that you are, that you have Christ inside of you. Guys, there is nothing that can stop you. What is the opposite of the devil? It's not God. It's Michael. It's Gabriel. He's a created being. And we have the God of the universe taking up residence inside of us. And he wants out. You guys realize that holiness, true holiness, Bible holiness, is when the nature of God just shines out of your spirit? That when the Holy Ghost just cleans you up and you're just walking in that submission, that will of God, that your personality starts to look more and more like Jesus? Guys, that is true Bible holiness. That is what Paul was preaching about in every single book of his work. Okay, let's rewind. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17, Paul interrupts this passage on conduct, and he gives us a revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." I don't know how it happens. I don't understand how everything comes together. But when you are born of the Spirit, that when you are joined to the Lord, when you are baptized in His name, your spirit becomes fused and inseparable with the Spirit of God. That you are now in Christ and you are becoming perfected in Him, and that you are being changed, and at the same time your purpose is being revealed, and that everything that you are meant to be on this earth is revealed in Jesus Christ. Do I have you all? Raise your hand if this is making sense. That when you have the Holy Ghost living inside of you, that you are joined to the Lord in one spirit. That, guys, let's stop praying, "God, come down." No, let's start praying, "Jesus, manifest yourself. Jesus, come out and let me see your glory. Let me see who you really are." Hey, guys, if we have Christ in us, who can stand against it? If God be for us, who can stand against us, right? You got Christ inside of you, man. You got the Holy Ghost inside of you. We're going to have to change our mind. We're going to have to repent from this thinking that we're going to have to please God in order to see Him do something. But every time that we step up, every time we get out of bed, that we have a chance to see the miraculous. The Holy Ghost wasn't meant to be a lake inside of you. It was meant to be a river. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." He's talking about the Holy Ghost. He's not talking about, you know, a song. And the song is awesome. And that song is talking about the Holy Ghost. That's why we sing it, because it's about the Holy Ghost. All you guys that just got the Holy Ghost, I see a few of you around. You different? You feel a change? You feel new? Something different, right? It's good. It's a new thing that God is doing inside of your life. You have been joined and you are one spirit with Him. Okay, back to the lesson. Sorry. Why do we speak when we pray? If pray without ceasing can also mean, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm being Christian. I'm being awesome. I'm being Jesus on the earth. What you doing? Just being Jesus. Putting on my Lord and Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. So why do we speak? That is for you to focus your faith on a certain thing. When we pray for healing, we don't say, "Lord, touch him." We say, "Lord, make his eye new like you created it in the first place. And how you meant it to be." You understand that part of the Lord's Prayer is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we get to heaven, is there going to be sickness and disease? Is there going to be chaos? And there's going to be all this awful stuff? No. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That we as the church, that we as a piece of the church, are to manifest the kingdom of heaven on earth together in one accord in the Spirit of God. Lord, give my house peace as we go through this situation. Let's be specific. Okay, when the Holy Ghost prompts you to pray something, that's God. Speak it. It's going to happen. It's going to work. It's going to be real. Something's going to change. Remember we said about praying in faith? That's believing that you're hearing from God. Just go after it, man. When we start to doubt, okay, it's not like Jesus is saying, okay, when their faith reaches this certain point, I'll do it. No. It's that when we just believe what he says, that we believe that God is good, and that it's his will for this to happen, and it's his will for this to happen, then we're just going to speak that and it's going to happen. That, right there, that is praying in faith. A little side note, 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6 says that David was going through a tough time, but it also says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. How did he do that? You guys remember last lesson? Those psalms are written by David. He's saying, God, it's all this. God, you've forgotten me. God, this is horrible. Lord, why are you so far? And then it says, then I remembered the goodness of God. Then I remembered the mercy of the Lord. Then I remembered that God is good. That's how you encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you got to preach your own sermon. Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? I'm a born-again child of God, and this is beneath me. What I'm going through right now, that is beneath me. And I'm going to rise above it because I have God inside of me. I have the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? Thank you. I'm feeling good up here. Praying without ceasing. All right, we're going to get practical. Choosing entertainment that won't make you feel dirty or less holy, right? We're not just saying that because we don't like you. And we're not saying that because, No. When you feed yourself with garbage, garbage is going to come out. It's very important that you monitor what you allow in your spirit, guys. That we are one spirit with Jesus now. You are one, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Is Jesus talking that way? There's another verse in Psalms that says, I put no evil thing before my sight. It changed my life when I realized that God was living inside of me. And when I read about Jesus in the Gospels, when I read about what he was in the Gospels, and I looked at my behavior, I realized that I was misrepresenting him. Here's one. You can excuse yourself from an unwholesome conversation. Starts veering off course. You know what I'm talking about. I got a room full of very smart people in here. It's hard to stay in a spirit of prayer when you're talking in a way that people wouldn't even think that you're a Christian. The greatest insult, guys, is that, you know, you're a Christian? I'm sorry. I'm just telling you the way it is. That should cut you. Asking yourself, would Jesus talk like this? Would Jesus be doing what I'm doing? I want to give you some closing notes. We're going to have a time of prayer. All right? I want you guys to understand something. You don't have to feel like you're praying to actually be praying. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? I'm trying to drive this home. That you don't actually have to be praying. Feel like you're praying to be praying. And we know what it's like to feel like we're praying. We Pentecostals, we're into feeling. We feel God. We're all about feeling God. But there are times where you may not feel God, but you can still pray. The world lives by a feeling. The world lives by a high. It lives by a rush. But the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Faith isn't controlled by feelings. Faith doesn't care how it feels. We live by faith. God is good. We just say it. We live it. We say God is good. My life is horrible right now, but God is good. I am really sick, but God is good. We live by faith. We don't live by feelings. I went out to my car one morning, flat tire. God's good. Took an hour off of work. God's good. I want to also tell you this. And if you fail to pray without ceasing, I want to tell you congratulations. You're just like everybody else. But it's all about getting back up. And it's about praying again. Praying without ceasing. You guys know what the unforgivable sin is? The one that you don't confess. The one that you don't bring to God. Blasphemy is saying that God doesn't forgive. The one we don't give to Him, that's the one He can't forgive. I know what I've been talking about might have been a little high, might have been a little... But I wanted to stretch you guys. I wanted to challenge you guys. You can take it to the next level. You're not just an SW Christian, Sunday and Wednesday. Guys, God wants to make history through you. But if we don't make history with Him, if we don't take a time, and if we're not walking down the halls of our school saying, God, I love you. God, I love you. That's just it. That's all I can say right now. Because I'm at school and people think I'm a weirdo if I'm speaking in tongues at lunch. But God, I love you. Jesus, you're awesome. Lord, thank you for your presence. Do you guys understand that when you receive the Holy Ghost, since that point on, you've been in the presence of God? There are times when we enter into a worship time where you can just feel the presence of God just begin to move over a whole congregation. But the presence of God is in you. When I first put this on, my wedding ring, it was weird. I felt it all the time. Now I've worn a groove and it's really white underneath my ring. And it's almost like I don't even feel it anymore. Such is the life that we can live. That we are so used to the presence of God. That we are so used to living a Christian life. That it's there. And we can forget it's there, but it's still there. I wonder if some of you guys want to make a commitment tonight. Let's stand. I'm going to give you a chance to pray.